This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
It may be summertime, but still a lot happening with the Oregon State Legislature, and we're checking in with lawmakers frequently. State Representative Court Boyce on the South Coast joining us. Court, thanks for being here this afternoon.
Hey, Kyle, thanks for having me on. Appreciate all that you and KQEN do for keeping our citizens informed.
Well, we've got a lot of things to get through this afternoon. And with the legislative session out recently, one of the things that has come up was the impact of one of the pieces of legislation that was signed. That included the reallocation of $35 million for a state veterans home in Roseburg. Talked about that earlier in the week with Alex Carlatos. Explain for people why this action had to be taken a second time.
You know, I think honestly, it might have been a flip of the coin between us and Lebanon. You know, Lebanon, Kyle, has about 20,000 people, 24,000 in Roseburg. And so those facilities will be quite similar. I've been to the Lebanon Veterans Home a couple of times in the last 2 years. It's on 13 acres. It's just an incredible facility. And so I think we just barely lost out on that. And that was completed about 8 years ago. So it's the two will be very similar. And we're getting close to really having this thing locked down. We're just being cautiously very optimistic, but it's looking quite good.
Now, the funds, though, were reallocated, or rather allocated the first time in a prior session. Does that come with like a time constraint if you're still waiting for the federal portion?
Next question. No, it would be an honest concern, but I think, we're fine. You mentioned 10 years, or I mentioned 10 years to you, and Commissioner Tim Freeman back in the day as well, former Commissioner Susan Morgan. It's just been so much effort has gone into this. And so between the Dalles and Lebanon, Roseburg is overdue, and we just don't have great concerns for any additional roadblocks. I hope that answers your question.
Well, on the federal budget funding piece, though, are you concerned given all the Trump administration changes in processes and priorities and where spending is happening?
Well, I think that's a great question. The Trump administration has shown a deference to certainly veterans issues, and he has backed that up and I believe consistently walked the talk. And so I think he's in full support of this and his people. So I think we're okay there as well.
Well, let's also talk about funding for the Rock Creek Hatchery. That was announced. Talk about that.
You know, that was the 2020 Archie Creek fire, that a good portion of that was destroyed. And quite a heartache with the history there. Clear back in 1920, I think, was the year. And so the $1.4 million that we got for that, Rep. Osborne and Senator Brock Smith, you know, just really helped put a lot of people together, key partners on this, Kyle. Douglas Timber Operators, certainly the Cow Creek Tribe, and the Umpqua fishing, the volunteer effort on this will be amazing. And so we're actually met with Senator Brock Smith, and I met in Gold Beach with Director, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, Colbert. And of course, that subject came up along with other issues on the coast for different hatcheries. And so we're just thrilled with that almost $1.5 million.
Well, I know there have been concerns there for a while as to whether rebuilding or something was ever going to take place.
And yeah, but there's still enough of the facility left that it made sense to try and repair, improve, and update that entire program. And so that was another one where we were holding our breath, and it's just fish abundance, putting fish back in the rivers, and that hatchery should be really continuing tuned in to salmon, Chinook, and the coho. In fact, we've been discussing approaching federal government to take the delist the coho salmon on the endangered list. So just a lot of good things happening. Steelhead, winter steelhead going back into the North Umpqua River. Just really important for future generations and our economies, our fishing interests.
Well, and of course, with the North Umpqua in particular being such a mecca for people to come fishing from around the world.
It's just one of the many things that is special about Southwest Oregon. I mean, you go to the coast all the way inland, the wild rivers, the wineries that we have, the dunes, tremendous attractions. It's just a unique part of the planet, and it's just a privilege to be able to represent all three counties, Kyle.
Just got word this morning, in fact, that the South Coast Development Council was awarded a $225,000 grant to continue their innovation hub, and the hope is to support about 50 companies with assistance, mentorship, and more. How important is funding like this to these smaller companies to get this kind of to get support to help them move forward and grow, especially with what we see around some of the bigger companies in Oregon?
Well, that's a good point, and I support this program. Business Oregon is going to help. I think they could do a little more focus on retaining businesses we have in Oregon, but new business startups, Derek Ton from SCDC has been here now 3 years, come from, I think he came from Minnesota, just a real qualified. In fact, I was there in Coos Bay to meet with him and several other people on the port of Coos Bay intermodal project, and just had a great day there. Went out to North Point where the hub is going to be built. And so SCDC is helping any way they can there. And helping small entrepreneurial efforts, and those are our small business employers that really make a difference in the state of Oregon. And so if we can somehow use that for a basis to turn the attitude, the anti-business attitude of Salem and Portland, then we'd do a lot better in our state, especially for rural Oregon.
You mentioned that intermodal port. I didn't say that exactly right, but a lot of hopes there with big potential for thousands of jobs. I think I've heard as much as 8,000 jobs ultimately.
Pretty close to that. Roseburg and Coos Bay are only, less than an hour and a half apart. It's going to have a great residual. It starts with dredging the entire port of Coos Bay. They need to get the bigger container ships in, Kyle. They need to get the depth down to about 47 feet. There's some of the areas in that 5 mile section that basically are only about 35 feet deep, maybe 36, 37. So Oregon has stepped up to the plate there. I appreciate the governor's efforts on that. Certainly our South Coast delegation had a lot of input on this to get that dredging done. And that's going to be about, I think it's about $550 million. And then the terminal construction itself is going to be, I believe, around $800 million. Same on the rail line that goes up west Douglas County, Reeseport, and then cuts over Florence, as you know, Mapleton to Eugene. And then we're going to be shipping two stack-too-high, big supply containers all the way to the Midwest, Iowa, Ohio, et cetera.
All right, more with State Representative Court Boyce when we come back to interview a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. State Representative Court Boyce joining us this afternoon with a lot of things to cover. And, of course, when you say Oregon State Legislature, first thing a lot of people think of right now is the upcoming special session, about 12 days away or so. Court, how do you think this is shaping up at this point?
We're solid in no new taxes. You know, the governor put out a new plan that was very disappointing because the only thing that really was changed that would be even under the category of a slight win would be eliminating the tolls, at least for now. And I think that was to help Mark Meat, Senator, a good guy, Clackamas County, because he did, you know, that's just a tough one. ODOT is not managed well. Now, Region 3, Kuskokwim, Douglas, Jackson, Josephine County, we have a great team down here with ODOT employees that have been incredibly good to us and do great work. However, the long term of ODOT is just no accountability. And that's why we're standing firm. I won't be at the special session. I'm going to be taking a group of veterans up free on Roger Jerry's and booked that a long time ago. So I don't even know. They're somewhat confident that they have the Democrat support enough to pass the new taxes. But it's just heartbreaking to see when you have four areas of really tough revenue. And that is the government holding back on unnecessary funding for the states and the local communities. Number one. Number two, the COVID money's all gone, and that was not spent wisely. We have a weakening economy, as you know, in Oregon, and yet we have, in addition to that, number four, massive layoffs. So to burden the taxpayers with additional taxes and regulations and fees, just for example, on the registration fees up $139, people just can't afford it, and we're just determined that will come back and haunt them, and we can reverse that in the 2026 short session, and especially the 2027 full session.
Now, it sounded like the governor, with the special session being called for a Friday going into a three-day weekend, is hoping that this is going to be a one-day session, but it sounds like the GOP is really pushing back against that idea.
Well, every time the Capitol opens up, I mean, it's like $1 million a day. I mean, that's not a precise figure, but it's wasted taxpayer dollars, and it's just a signal of what it is in the state of Oregon when it comes to poor prioritized spending. And if there's anything we have to do as South Coast legislators is push back against bad bills and excess spending. You know, that hurts rural Oregon the most. Nothing against electric vehicles, but they're heavier. They put more pressure on the roads. And so that they're not paying their fair share. And yet that's harder on rural Oregonians because it's just not practical for us in our areas. So then you talk about the I-5 bridge, Kyle. You talk about the Abernathy bridge. Those bridges need to be repaired. We do not have the money, and I don't see the money in the foreseeable future, and so we got to hold the line there as well.
And talk about for ODOT. I know earlier in the main session, the GOP had its own plan, but that seemed to really not go anywhere.
Well, it was a great plan, and it didn't, it didn't say we had to raise taxes to fix potholes, to do winter maintenance, to just we asked for a holding pattern, a simple holding pattern that basically said, hey, here's where we are, let's see if we can bring ODOT back into full accountability and transparency, and just save the taxpayers some money till we see what the economy is going to do, until we see how revenue is going to come into the offers over the next few years. It's the wrong areas of spending. Oregon Health Authority is a budget that is one third of the total Oregon funding, and it is $36 billion for 2 years, and it's just mind-boggling. So we got some hard work to do ahead, and we'll just keep the pressure up.
Over the summertime, what are some of the things you've been working on legislatively in terms of getting around the district, meeting with people, that kind of thing?
Well, let's see. Friday. Yeah, this Friday I'm going to meet in Coos Bay with the Douglas Timber Operators. There's a breakfast we have, get updates. That's once a month. I thoroughly enjoyed myself at all three county fairs. Just a source of pride for Southwest Orion, Coos Curry, and Douglas. That was just really a breath of fresh air to see the efforts and what it does for our young people, bringing all of our cities together. Just a little side note here. Oregon Farm Bureau has they're going to have a contest to showcase the incredible diversity of our farmers and ranchers. You know, just it's like our builders, it's like our loggers. It's part of rural Oregon that's so important, and so just showing the respect for those people who work so hard and just offering some people that might be up for that contest and recommendations, so you can find it online. Also, a side note, Highway 101 is going to be shut down, Kyle, the 19th to the 22nd, just slightly south of Bandon. So we'll be going through anybody in Curry County, and we'll be going through clear around through Grants Pass over the mountain from Agnes to get back over to Coos Bay. So that's, again, the 19th through the 22nd. On the 31st, let's see, I went to Bandon to the Coquille Tribal Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife Joint Management Agreement on the salmon recovery for the Coquille River. Senator Brock Smith and I had Senate Bill 221 to help on the Coos River fish recoveries. So also, anything has to do with fire, I'm right in the middle of that on a daily basis, so if you give your report around the state there.
Now, a couple minutes left on Inside Douglas County. We touched on the area of business earlier. Concerns you've got about more businesses leaving Oregon, maybe not necessarily lock, stock, and barrel, but moving headquarters, moving some of the staff. It seems like we've got a trend going here that probably most people would say is going the wrong direction.
Well, thank you. Yeah, trend is the correct word. Land use restrictions, rising corporate taxes, my goodness, ballooning minimum wage mandates, relentless environmental regulations. We're not recruiting businesses. And to your point, businesses exiting Oregon, they're getting recruited from other states. They're saying, you come here, here's this tax incentives that we'll offer. My goodness, when you look at just one example, Intel laying off 5,400 people in less than a 2-year period, that's a major hit. And so we better circle the wagons and be prepared for hard times or harder times. And rural Oregon and Southwest Oregon, that's our job, is to prepare our people and to push back against bad legislation.
What is maybe a brighter spot for you about some of the things you see happening in Oregon?
The Trump administration pushing back against sanctuary cities. I had a tremendous honor to speak to the Oregon Taxpayers Association, a co-guest speaker with Andy Ngo, the young man that was beat up twice by the Antifa rioters in Portland. I had the last bill on the House floor just a few minutes before we adjourned, Senate Bill 1047, which was an economic development bill for South Coos and Northern Curry County. The governor did veto that, but we're going to bring it back, and just a couple other things. So, I'm never going to give up on Oregon, and the tourism will remain solid. Our manufacturing can come back if we make some adjustments. And I think some of them on the other party, the people that have been in power for the last 40 years, they've got to understand the tax has been philosophy, will not, has not worked, and has got to be changed.
All right, we'll wrap it up there. Out of time, State Representative Court Boyce on Inside Douglas County. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks, Nell. Take care.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.